Caution, the contents of this podcast may be historical, but they're still served piping hot. We're brewing up the classics here on the Coffee House Classical Music Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Coffee House Classical Music Podcast. My name is Asa.
And I'm Allison.
So welcome back to some more quote-unquote normal content. We hope you all enjoyed the April's Fool Reel in last episode, because I certainly did.
I got good feedback from some listeners, so I think it's well enjoyed.
Wonderful.
Hopefully it's a good demographic that we're pulling from here. So, what are we talking about this week?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the April Fool's episode, because the inspiration for today's episode is actually pulled from the background music that we selected from that reel. Do you remember what that is? That's right, everyone. It was Edvard Grieg's Peer Gynt Suite. Now, we've covered Grieg in the past way back in episode 57, so he really deserves a comeback on our show. Of course, you can go back and listen to that episode, and we do encourage you to do so, but we will be rehashing the biography here. And actually, this will be a two-part series, so stick around for the next episode as well with more hot deets on the Peer Gynt Suite.
So, Edvard Grieg. He was born in Bergen, Norway in 1843. Though his father was a merchant, both of Grieg's parents did love music. In fact, his mother was a very well-known pianist in Norway, and she first began to teach the young Grieg starting when he was around 6 years old. Grieg much preferred learning the piano to actually learning things at school. Apparently, he would take every opportunity he could to skip going to class. His biggest tactics for this was getting as wet as possible on his way to school. So apparently there was a school policy that any student arriving to school in soaking clothes was permitted to go back home to change into dry clothes and come back. However, Grieg lived quite far away, so by the time it would take him to go back and forth, it really just made more sense for him to go back home and stay there for the rest of the day.
He literally got wet and wild.
What a scamp.
But onto his musical endeavors rather than his scholastic pranks. Like any good romantic supporter of the arts, Mrs. Grieg held salons to present the greatest works of all time. And it was in these gatherings that Grieg developed an appreciation for both the classical and romantic styles, favoring both Mozart and Chopin. This is also where he became acquainted with the famed violinist Ole Bull.
Bull noticed that Grieg was quite a talented young pianist, and in 1858 he convinced Grieg's parents that he should be sent to the Leipzig Conservatory to further his musical studies. Now, in an unusual turn of events, his parents readily agreed to this. So usually here on the Coffee House, you would hear us saying, oh, his parents wanted him to be a lawyer or inherit the family business, yada, yada, yada. However, Grieg found himself in a more flexible position because he had an older brother who was already working towards inheriting the family business. So Grieg was actually a little more free to pursue whatever he wanted.
But in spite of this, he still didn't entirely enjoy his time at the conservatory. For all his love of Mozart, Grieg disliked the other classical era music his teachers forced him to learn. Well, maybe he just didn't like school.
He didn't like the confines of higher education.
Or lower education, apparently.
That's true.
However, Leipzig was a booming cultural and musical center, so what he thought of school or not, Grieg was able to hear the greatest concerts and performers from all over Europe, including performances of the Wagnerian operas.
After graduation from the conservatory, Grieg returned home to Norway. But he didn't stay there for long. His next stop was in Copenhagen, which at that time, though in Denmark, was the cultural center of the Scandinavian countries. Here, Grieg met Niels Gade, who was one of the foremost Scandinavian composers of the time. He acted as a mentor for Grieg, trying to get him to stretch his skills with little assignments such as, quote, write a symphony.
Small assignments.
Yeah. And Grieg felt very ill-prepared to tackle this kind of thing. In fact, the symphony that he was instructed to write no longer exists, as Grieg destroyed it a few years later.
The homework symphony would be an interesting one to listen to.
I feel like there's many a composition major who's done a homework symphony.
Yes. In addition to Gade, Grieg made acquaintances with other prominent Scandinavian artsy types. One name, whom you'll probably recognize, is that of Hans Christian Andersen. During this time in history, Denmark was a much bigger territory than it is today, and Norway was actually controlled by the Danes. Being the early Romantic period, this was also the peak of musical nationalism, and learning by the example of the Danes, Grieg began looking into uniquely Norwegian folk traditions to incorporate into his works.
Grieg soon fell in love with the peasant folk traditions of his own native Norway. So, following his newfound Norwegian nationalism, his output began to center very heavily on specific Norwegian themes. He also made many attempts to gain high positions in theaters throughout Norway, but unfortunately was unsuccessful. However, he held many concerts in conjunction with his other Norwegian musical friends, and was soon actually seen as one of the foremost composers of his time, and actually now for that part, in Norway. And this eventually led him to the post of conductor of the Philharmonic Society, where he was really able to push his whole Norwegian musical agenda.
Now, despite being submerged in the orchestral world, at this point, Grieg had become resigned to not composing large-scale symphonic works. Rather, we see lots of chamber music, songs for piano and/or voice, and a variety of orchestral miniatures. However, he did make an exception when it came to writing for the stage. Although he wasn't really into opera, incidental music was right up Grieg's alley. And in 1874, he was commissioned to write the incidental music for the play Peer Gynt. Although this would require lots of music, most of it was short, sweet, and song-like.
And, of course, it was a plus that this work would allow him to expound upon his beloved Norwegian themes. Now, the play Peer Gynt itself was written by Henrik Ibsen in 1867. We'll get into the actual story of Peer Gynt more in our next episode, but in general, it's based on a classic Norwegian fairy tale by the same name. At the time of its writing, Ibsen was actually in Italy rather than in his Norwegian homeland. For years prior, Ibsen had been the director at the Norwegian Theater in Christiania, which is now Oslo. However, that theater had unfortunately gone bankrupt, and Ibsen had found himself out of a job. But this was actually not a detriment to him, because he was now free to write whatever he wanted without needing to worry about fitting the mold of what the public would expect. So as such, he was able to push the boundaries of Norwegian theater and actually make some progress in the field.
After commissioning Grieg to write the incidental music for the play in 1874, it took a little longer than anticipated to get things off the ground. Peer Gynt was finally premiered 2 years later in 1876 and was deemed a great success with the Norwegian national audience. During the late 1870s, Grieg struggled with continued bouts of ill health. Since childhood, he had suffered from chronic breathing issues resulting from a nasty bout of tuberculosis, and so for a time, he took an entire year off composing. However, the 1880s brought recovery and renewed vitality, and so Grieg really went at the nationalism hard, taking it right to his hometown, securing the post of conductor for the Bergen Harmonic Society.
However, after a few years, he left this post to dedicate his life to composing and touring. For the rest of his life, he would compose for half of the year and travel Europe for the other half. He performed on the piano and conducted orchestral works, and overall was well-loved in the cultural communities wherever he went. He was even awarded honorary doctorates from English and French universities for his excellent musical contributions. And he did this all with his wife Nina Hagerup, who was an accomplished soprano singer herself.
Grieg and his wife would spend the winter concert season touring around Europe together, and then retire to the Norwegian countryside for recuperation during the summers. Grieg had bought a little plot of land outside the Bergensundi limits, so he was more secluded in nature. He called his homestead Trollhagen, which translates to Troll Hill. This is an homage to Hall of the Mountain King, that, of course, is part of the famous Peer-Gynt suite. He also composed a piece to commemorate his and his wife's wedding anniversary called Wedding Day at Trollhagen. Adorable. Unfortunately, after the turn of the century, Grieg's illness began to return, forcing his concert circuits to stay closer and closer to home. And by 1907, his touring was confined to Scandinavia. He was going to attempt to travel to England, but was instead ordered into a Bergen hospital, where he died just a few days later in 1907. Having been such an advocate for both Norwegian and Scandinavian culture for over 60 years, he was mourned on a national scale and is still celebrated as a fine example of the Norwegian artist.
So that's about it for our part one of Grieg and the Peer-Gynt Suite. More so about Grieg this time. Next episode is going to be more so on the suite itself. So we do hope you stay tuned for that coming your way.
Yes, a couple of shorter episodes now as we put together a Peer-Gynt spectacular. I was trying to make some sort of word play off of that, but it didn't come. I am not a composer. Unlike Edvard Grieg, who we've just learned about. And if you know somebody else who would like to learn more about the wonderful Edvard Grieg, then share this podcast with that like-minded friend, family member, colleague, whoever you may find in random places such as streets, who might enjoy this. I just had a thought, Allison. If
yes.
People have not been listening to us for a while and this is the first episode, the streets can probably come out of nowhere.
if you want to get our inside joke, you have to go back and listen to other episodes.
Yes.
We're not going to explain it here. So with that, to you listening at home and all those on the street, thank you.
And until next time, I'm Asa.
And I'm Allison. Thank you so much for listening. The Peer-Gynt Suite No. 1 by Edvard Grieg was performed by the Czech National Symphony Orchestra. You can find The Coffeehouse on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook at The Coffeehouse Classical Podcast and Instagram at Podcast Coffeehouse. Email us at coffeehouseclassical@gmail.com.